So, I think I've shared this, I'm the oldest of four, and needless to say, it was a lot of fighting in my household when we were younger. There wasn't much that we would agree upon, and very often, at the end of fighting, we would often hear this phrase, "Nuh-uh, show me." And so we would, and I remember distinctly one time telling my baby sister, who to this day is still angry about this, but I told her we had scrambled eggs for breakfast, and she was putting pepper on her scrambled eggs, and I said to her, "You know, those are spider eggs." She immediately put down her fork, took the plate, ran to the kitchen, threw it in the sink, and refused to eat. And then my brother says, "Nuh-uh, show me." So there we were at the kitchen table, pouring all the pepper on the table. And there I was, because I was determined to prove to them that I was right. I'm trying to cut. Have you ever tried to cut a piece of pepper? And so I went to go get other knives, and then pretty soon my mother comes in and there's pepper all over the table, and she goes, "What is going on here?" And then I was a part of a bike club when I was younger. We had these woods that were around our neighborhood. We called them the trails because they had bike trails through there. And so whenever I'd go and we would build these elaborate ramps for us to jump on our bikes. None of it safe. I can't even believe that I did not break a bone when I was younger, because I'd come home after, because we'd build stuff, right? And then everyone would look at it. It's looking all rickety and everything. And inevitably, somebody would say, "I dare you. You can't do that." And that's all somebody had to say to me, is that you can't do something. And then there I was. I was like, "Oh, God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die." And I'm riding my bike. And inevitably, I would crash. And I'd come home limping, you know, blood and scrapes all over me. And my mom had gotten to the point where she'd point, "You know where the antiseptic is. You know where the wash rags are. Go clean yourself up." Because somebody had said, "I couldn't do it." And then another would say, "Come and see. Go ahead, do it. I dare you." You know, when you really think about it, though, the call that Jesus makes to his disciples to come and see is something that we still wrestle with even today in our modern day. You know, very often I hear people say, "Pastor, I can't just invite people to come to church. That's not me. I can't just, you know, tell people, you know, come and see." But here's the question to ask you that I'm going to ask you today that I want you to wrestle with. Is, are you proud of what we do here at this church? The ministries, the outreach, the blankets, the quilts, the pantry, the list goes on, and you guys know that. Are you proud of that? Then why wouldn't you invite someone to come is the question. Well, here's the interesting thing, though, about this text. I forgot what the Greek word was. Dang it, it just left my brain. Okay, so in the word "see," come and see, Nathaniel uses here in this text, when we think about seeing things, we think of the visual stuff, right? Things that are tangible, that we can actually put our hands on, things that we physically see. We see banners in the space. We see pews, we see an altar, but that's actually not the translation that is used here. The Greek word implies being able to see spiritually. Now that sort of changes a little bit about how we understand this text. It's not just what you're looking at, It goes deeper than that. So let me expand upon that a little bit more. Everyone knows the Amazing Grace song, "I once was blind, but now I see." Is that song implying about something someone being blind? Maybe, but most likely it's a spiritual blindness, right? How many of you know what that means to be spiritually blind? We all struggle with that at various times in our lives. There are gaps in our lives when we just can't see God clearly for whatever reason. I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone say, you know, all I needed was an invitation to church. All I needed was to hear something in church that resonated within my spirit, and then I just received it. You've heard that term, receiving Christ through what we see, not the visual. How many of you, I know my musicians over here will respond to this well. So how many of you, when you hear a certain song, it like hits something deep inside and you get excited about it? Sometimes I'm in my car driving and I'm listening to Christian contemporary I crank that sucker up and I'm singing at the top of my lungs and I can't explain it. Something inside me moves me. You know what I'm saying, right? You musicians over there. My nephew, and I've been teaching my nephew, Joshua, every Saturday night we FaceTime, and I'm teaching my nephew about music theory. He plays guitar and wanted to learn to read music, and he's getting really better and better about understanding music a little bit more. But here's what he described to me when I asked him. I said, "Why do you want to do this now? What's the big deal?" He said, "Aunt Rosie, Mom said you'd understand this, my sister." He said, "When I play music, I can't explain it. Something inside me just gets stirred, and I can't let it go. I just want to understand it more so that I can have more of that feeling." Maybe it's the feeling you get when you come to this space. Maybe it's the feeling you get when you are deep in prayer to God. Maybe it's the feeling you get when you genuinely connect with another person. It's not just the visual stuff, right? It's something deeper than that. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Now, here's our task as Christians. Is that what do you do with that? Does it just fester and stay within you? The hope is that you have so much of that sight that you are bursting with it. And so when you are around others, that you can't help but share because it is so overwhelming. It's that light that we talked about last week that continues to shine within us. And so when we see truly who our God is, and you cannot not share it, that's the sight that Jesus is talking about, to come and see and to share it with others. That's our mission. I remember a church, a friend of mine's church, right above the door as you exit the sanctuary, it says, "You are now entering the mission field." Meaning that as they left the church, they had a job to do. And guess what, folks? So do we. We have a job. Our vocation as baptized Christian is to call others to come and see. And if you are so overwhelmed with excitement and joy about what we do here, it should just naturally flow out of you. It doesn't have to be this. "My dearest friendest, I would like to invite thee to come and joineth me at our churches. It doesn't need to be a formal invitation. Have you ever had someone say to you, "Will you pray for me?" What do you do in that moment? I hope that you stop and pray with them in that moment before it passes. So many people say that all the time. "Will you pray for me?" Sure, let's do it right now. Let's go. That's the sight that God wants within us all, so that it overflows. It doesn't have to be something formal. It doesn't have to even be an official invitation to an event, but instead, a joy, a light that resonates within you that you cannot but share with others. The calling of the disciples is a reminder for us of what we carry. And just like Samuel, here's where we get stuck. Sometimes God is calling, but we don't listen. We ignore it. Everyone reads our announcements, sees the needs of the church. But I love what the first service in their call to worship says. I'm trying to pull it up real quick. The call to worship to the contemporary service said this. See if I can pull it up real quick. Here we go. "Wake up! Listen! Act! Wake up! Listen! Act! Because with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. Wake up! Listen! Act!" What's the ELCA tagline? What's the ELCA tagline? Do you know? Oh, this is so sad. What? There you go. God's work, our hands. How do you think that happens? Does that mean you physically touch someone? Maybe. It also means that we are sent into the mission field. We are called to share the good news. The work of God doesn't end when you leave this sanctuary space. It's quite the opposite. It's actually just the beginning. When you enter the mission field, you are called, wake up, listen, act. That's the calling of Christ in all of us. And how do we receive that gift of sight? Ta-da! Right there. That's our nourishment to carry that. The light that we continue to shine as we leave this place and go into the mission field. And so, my brothers and sisters, wake up! Listen! Act. That's our calling. Come and see. That's the invitation we should share with everyone we encounter. We want to grow this church, right? We want to see more people in the sanctuary, right? How does that happen? Would you like for me to go door to door around the neighborhood? I would love to see that. You know, there's a comedian that talks about, you know, old school, you can knock on someone's door. Now you knock on someone's door and they go hide behind the couch going, "Who is knocking on my door?" It's not that simple. But it is as simple as an invitation from you. Someone in your circle of friends may not come to know Christ until they receive an invitation from you. Someone. And so I say again, wake up, listen, act, and come and see. Amen.